ministry at Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the Gospel of John. We're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
If you're a child of God, you're alive already. Somebody said it well. Said, there's saints and there are ain'ts. That's the only two type of people in the world.
You're either alive or you're dead.
Now, the Bible says, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is past, underline it, is past. That doesn't mean you pass that way over and over again. If you pass into something over and over again, you're going in circles. It just are. Isn't that true? We were in Cleveland at an all-nighter one time with the young people. It was 2:30 in the morning, and I'm driving. And the young people are saying, didn't we just go past the Jake? Yeah, you just go back, you know, talk about it. Don't pay attention to the driver. You don't know where he's going. You're going around circles. Cleveland. We've all been there. He says, is passed from death unto life. Now, the word I want you to drill into is the word condemnation. Elsewhere, it is most often translated condemnation. But there are three times in the King James it's translated damnation. But let me tell you what the word is. It's krisis. We get the word crisis from it. You know what's really neat about that is that this word does apply to damnation, but it also applies to everyday crisis. You know, that you have. The word, in its truest standalone form, means to separate. It's when you come to a crisis in your life, are you going to go this way or that way? Are you going to make the right choice or the wrong choice? That's the whole meaning of a crisis. He says you won't come into a crisis. You know, if you have Jesus, you know which way to go. Jesus said, I'm the way. Go my way. You know. You know, if you've got somebody in the room who knows where you're going, you don't need your GPS. Turn here, they'll tell you. Because they're sitting right there. Jesus knows. The problem is many Christians want to manipulate it. They want to say, you know what? I like the church thing. I like the singing. I like the preacher. Bless God. He's a wonderful, handsome guy. Everybody get up there, you know, lightning rods. I like this and I like that. But you know that whole telling anybody about Jesus, that scares me. I think I'll just work on my car or cut some wood somewhere. But I ain't going to tell anybody about Jesus. Because, you know, that's good. That's nice. That's nice for other people. But that's not my gift. You know, a lot of people think it's not their gift. But can I tell you, it's your calling. Giftings, some people do it one way, some people do it other ways. We all have a way. You might bake cakes. You might do some embroidery, give it to somebody and say, hey, man, how about coming to church? Hey, man, how about letting me watch your kids so you and your husband can go out for dinner tomorrow night? Heard it's your anniversary. Hey, just being sweet. Upstanding. Loving. And a bridge builder to Jesus. He says in verse 25, after he says, you're not going to come into crisis, that means you won't come into damnation, because that'll never happen. You won't come into, listen, purgatory, which is another falsehood Rome has foisted upon the world. Yeah, you can be pretty bad. You'll go burn a little while, then you'll get up. 1,000 years or so, you know, give or take, depending on how much money you give me to do high masses. You say, why are you going there? See, I told you, I'm a parable. You say, that bothers me. You know, I know, we're in the day of political correctness. I'm telling you the truth. People have died for doctrine through the history of man. They've been killed for trying to translate the Bible into a translation you can read. Because they wanted to keep it cryptic so they could keep control. The Bible says in verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Did you hear what he said? You need to underline these two words. Now is. Because he was speaking it right then. And some people were going to believe him and listen and not be hearing. And some people were not going to believe him and not listen and they're going to not be living. He says, the hour is coming and now is when those who are dead in their trespasses and sins shall hear the voice of the Son of God. He was standing right there. You had to ask yourself, was he it or wasn't he? Oh, I did see him last week. He healed about 100 people in the street. But, you know, I'm still wondering whether I think he is or isn't. You see, some people say, well, God would show himself to me. I'd believe. No, you wouldn't. Look at the Old Testament, man. They had a pillar of cloud by day, a fire by night, manna every morning, parting the Red Seas, and they're like, yeah, but, you know, we don't have any meat. We don't got no meat. I need a hamburger, man. Why can't he give me what I want? Miracles don't get people saved. People chase them. They love it. They think it's all about them, so they figure they deserve one. Can I give you a newsflash? If we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell. That's what we get. So people who are chasing this and saying, I deserve... No, we don't deserve good. We get anything good. It's from God. If we get anything bad, it's from God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. It's the oldest book of the Bible, not the first book in order, but it's the first book in time. He wants you to know he's good. He says, the now is, and those who hear me will live. 11 disciples died martyrs' deaths, and they're alive today. Because he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. He made that clear. They were so amazed that he rose from the dead. They didn't even believe when the women came and said, he's alive. No, no, couldn't be. No, really, he's alive. We saw it. They were so despondent, they tarried all day in Jerusalem. Do you know what that means? He had told them to go meet him in Galilee. They're still down in Jerusalem because they're just despondent. So he has to turn to Jerusalem that night because they weren't leaving. He says, you guys need to believe. You need to believe because you are the next stage of my plan. Do you know what? We're this stage of his plan. It's not my job to witness alone. It's every person who knows Jesus. And what has happened is we've pushed it off and pushed it around the preacher. But you need to be witnessing to people for Jesus as individuals. Take your bed up and walk. Amen. Rise up. Walk now. You're alive. If you're not saved, you can be. You can have a purpose. You can have a hope. You can have a future. You can have a focus. You can own the dignity of being a child of God. To as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. It's not about my nickels, not about my dimes, not about my house, not about my husband, my wife. It's not about my kids. It's about Jesus. That is what salvation is about. He's the end all, be all of it all. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's the one who stands over time, calls the end from the beginning, and it comes to pass just like he says it will. He says a lot about the days you and I are living in. And the Bible says, time was come and now is that the dead shall hear, and those that will hear will live. And what he's saying there is kind of murky, right? I mean, I don't know how many people are standing in that crowd or putting it together. Oh, does that mean if I believe him, I'm going to live? He did say everlasting life. You had to kind of take a little moment and work this and figure it out. But it's there. They review it and review it and review it. And people got saved every time he spoke. When he raised the dead, when he healed the sick, it was all ways of saying, listen, look what I'm doing. Now listen to what I'm saying. You and me, people are supposed to be able to look what we're doing and then hear what we say. That makes sense? If I'm living for Jesus, if I'm walking a good life, and that means loving your family first. Enough to share Jesus with them day in and day out. You remember the Old Testament? It says when you get up in the morning, you tell them about Jesus. When you go down at night, when you walk out, when you come in. The Jews couldn't get it, man. They put a mezuzah up on their door and they touch it as they go out as if that meant they were talking about God. No, you need to really be all about Him, you know? When you're sitting around your table and eating dinner, talk about Jesus. Is He part of your fabric? I mean, if it is, they know it. And all of us are tapestries. But what is his place in the tapestry? Hopefully he's being seen more and more as you get older. The Bible says in verse 25, the hour is coming and now is. I want you to let your eye fall down a little bit further. The Bible says in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves, underline or circle the word all that are in the graves, shall hear his voice. So there's a resurrection for you. The Bible says, and shall come forth of the graves. Did you hear that? The graves. People we've left in the graveyard, if they're children of God, they're going to be raised from the dead. But people who are lost are going to be raised from the grave too. Look what it says in the next verse. Verse 29 says, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And that's the ultimate crisis. People have crisis all the time. Every time you turn around, you get to choose. You get to choose where you're going to click your mouse, right? Right? You get to choose what you're going to watch on TV, what kind of music you're going to listen to. You get to choose what books you're going to read. You get to choose what news you're going to listen to. You get to choose what scientists you're going to believe. You get to choose all the time. Every time you come to one, you got a crisis. And sometimes it's a good decision. Sometimes it's a bad one. When it's a bad one, you feel it. You know, and the pressure builds and you feel like, man, I need to go back and get back on the right road if you're a child. If not, you keep going the wrong way and you pine and moan and whine and wither. Right? Next thing you know, you're in some field somewhere out there and people will look at you. What are you? Who are you? What? What do you do? I don't know. I just exist. What I'm saying to you is there's going to be a day of reckoning, and he's telling us that in that day a voice is going to be heard, the graves are going to open, some are going to be raised, those that did good are going to be raised unto the resurrection of life, and them that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The word for evil here is an unusual word, only used four times in the New Testament. The word is phallus. The idea means to lightly esteem things. It means to trivialize things. It means to call them petty or trivial or sorry or poor or having no force. It means to have indifference. The Bible says them that do evil, they're going to be raised to the resurrection of damnation. Now, I wanted you to understand something. When people hear that, they might think, well, them that have done good. So I'm a do-gooder. I do good works. So I'm going. No, the Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saves us. That's how we get saved. But once we're saved, we should be do-gooders. We don't do good to be saved. We should be doing good because we are saved. Does that make sense? Let me give you this. This is a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. You might write this down for later reference. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile or lie. Let him eschew evil and let him do good. There's the do-gooder. But he defines that, let him seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. What's that mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. That's the person who realizes they're bankrupt. They feel bad about being ranked up spiritually. They look for righteousness. They find it in Jesus. And then they become blessed are those who are meek, because now they've collected their senses. You know, you ever get all dizzy? A little vertigo, and you find, oh, I got to collect my senses. I stood up too quick. Blessed are the meek. They're the people who collected themselves. Blessed are the merciful, because now they're turning around telling somebody else. Like that man, he went and told somebody. Blessed are the merciful. And then what did he say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Seek peace! You want to know what the ultimate do-good is? Seek peace. That means you put one hand on God. You put one hand on your friend. You say, you need to meet each other because I don't want you to go to hell. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for you have good company in the prophets. You see, that's what's going to happen. Brouhaha. It's going to happen. Do you want to rise up, take up your bed and walk? Or do you want to take it trivially and say, crisis every time, right? Hate those crises. But you know what? He that hears my word and believes on him, the Father who hath sent me, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's a good thing to know.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week.
But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.